One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours. Thank you. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit brings partnership. And partnership leads to distribution. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's more than an influence. He's a person. You relate with a person. Most people only know him as power, the power of God. So they remember him when they're in need. And they want some power to do something for them. But God wants us to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to recognize the Holy Spirit in our lives. In prayer, in our dealings with others. See, he wants that fellowship to grow into partnership. The fellowship that brings about partnership. That means that you have such fellowship with him, you become partners together. And I would like to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And verse 9. It says, for we are laborers or workers together with God. Now, I told you that when you study in the New Testament, and you find the word God, it's important to study the context to get to know who's he talking about. Is he referring to the Father as God? Is he referring to the Godhead in totality? Is he referring to the Holy Spirit as God? Or is he referring to Jesus as God? Because in some cases he does. The context will tell you. Now, we cannot work just as I explained to you, we can't have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus because they're in heaven, and the only way to have that fellowship with the Father or with Jesus is through the Holy Spirit. In the same way, we cannot work with God the Father or God the Son except by working with the Holy Spirit, because Papa God is in heaven, Jesus is in heaven, and it's the Holy Spirit who is here with us. He's the one in the earth. Now, notice something. He says, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Uh-oh. Oh. So, who's who here? That means Paul is saying, this is not everybody. He says, some of us are workers with God, and the rest of you are the farm. You are the labor. That means the work. You are what we are doing. Think about it. It's just like another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, we all think so. We all say, yeah, that's who we are. But this is not every Christian. He's not trying to say every Christian is. Every Christian is to some extent, to the same extent that all of you in South Africa, or all of you, every South African is an ambassador of South Africa when you go out of this country. Right? But the government has handpicked somebody to speak for the country. No matter what you say outside this country, if the government hasn't picked you, it doesn't matter. But others will listen to you and say, well, that's the way they are in South Africa. See? So they'll take you seriously to some extent, but you'll have no power in government or in changing things between countries. Right? In the same way, he uses this and he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God didn't beseech you by us. And if you read from the first chapter, you know he's talking to the Christians in Corinth. So what's the separation? Who's who he? He's saying, us, the ministers. Us who have been given a responsibility to serve in the house of God, to bring others to him, to win others to him. He says, we are ambassadors. And we are reaching you that we are building. Are you getting it now? So, in that sense, he's referring to himself and those who were apostles with him and those who were working together with him. As different from all the Corinthian Christians that he was writing to. Praise God. All right. So, look at it. Now then, we are ambassadors. So, it's not every Christian he's referring to here. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. He wasn't talking to non-Christians. He was talking to Christians. Because some things had gone wrong in their lives, and he was correcting them. And he says, we implore you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Change your way of doing things. That's what he was saying to them. So, in the very sense that the scripture speaks here, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, can you go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 1? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. See, we then, as workers together with him, we are workers together with him. See, several scriptures helping us understand our partnership with God. With the Holy Ghost. As workers together. We are workers together with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are workers together with the Holy Ghost. Say, we are workers together with the Holy Ghost. We are workers together with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Alright, now, if you would go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, observe something here. He says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Read that. Read it. All right. Now, we're going to compare this with another scripture. Acts, book of Acts, chapter 15. And let's look at verse 28. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Look at this. Read it. One, two, go. All right. Let me explain something to you. We're talking about partnership with the Holy Spirit. In the first scripture I read to you, Paul writing to Timothy said something. He said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, he says, keep. Keep by the Holy Ghost. How can I keep something by the Holy Ghost? Something that's entrusted to you. He says, keep by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Now that's remarkable. A responsibility has been given to you in the house of God. He says, handle that thing by the Holy Ghost that lives in us. A message has been committed to your trust. Keep it by the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Now, in the scripture read in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 28, we're coming from somewhere. They just had a meeting. The leaders in Jerusalem had a meeting. The apostles and elders had a long discussion over several things because of the Gentile churches that were springing up through the ministry of Paul. And there were concerns about several things. And after long deliberations, they decided to write a letter to those churches because there were certain people who had tried to go and deceive those churches with some false doctrines, stating that they came from the apostles. And the apostles said, no, we didn't send them. And now, after all their deliberations, they wrote this letter. And here is the line that gets my attention. And that's what I just read to you. Verse 28, put it there again, chapter 15, book of Acts. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. It seemed good to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then they went on to explain whatever necessary things they wanted the churches to observe. But look at it. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. This is how much they recognize the partnership with the Holy Spirit in their work. They knew God was with them, but they also had to be with Him. Like the prophet says, who is on the Lord's side? You know, we think about God being with us, but are we with God? The Holy Ghost and to us. They're saying, this thing is pleasing to the Holy Spirit and to us. And it's interesting, they didn't say, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. They said, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Why? Because He's the senior partner. He's the senior partner. And everything you need for your work, for your life, everything you require will come from Him. He's the senior partner. He's the supplier of every need. Glory to God. He's the supplier. You can trust Him. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Do you think like that? Or this thing looks nice to you, so you're going to do it. You know, there are people who just do what's on their mind. They say, well, this is what's in my heart, I want to do it. What about the Holy Ghost? You want to be very successful in your life? Then put the Holy Ghost first. This step you're about to take, is it good to the Holy Ghost? Does the Holy Ghost think it's right? Or is it just you? Did you hear them say, well, this thing seems good to us and we're going to tell the Holy Ghost to join us? Did you hear that? Did they say, well, we want to do it and we're asking the Holy Spirit to follow us? Did they say that? Okay, we have decided this is what we're going to do and we prayed. A lot of people said they prayed. Well, I want to do it. I prayed about it. Praying about it, that means you told God. What did he say? What did he say? Did he have to say anything? Of course, yes. Of course, yes. You know, there are Christians who never think about hearing from God. They think that hearing from God is left to everybody else. God wants to talk to you. And the thing is, he's been at it. He's been talking to you. Maybe you've not been listening. Or maybe you've not given him credit for the things he said to you. And you thought it was your mind. Learn to put the Holy Spirit first in your life. See, you get to know someone so well, to a certain extent, there are things you just don't want to do without his involvement. You know? Without seeking his counsel. Without having his guidance and his instruction. You just happen to trust him to that point. So it becomes a naturally flowing thing. It's not like, oh, I have an action. You know? As a fellowship gives birth to partnership, you need to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life. He's interested in everything that concerns you. Everything. He's interested in everything that concerns you. If you will have fellowship with him, you'd be amazed. Now, let's talk about how do we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, we can talk about having fellowship with the Holy Spirit and then until it becomes a big religion and we don't understand how to actually do it except to give it some big grammatical construction. Fellowship just means sharing together. It means relating with another on a friendly basis and informal friendly basis of mutual recognition and mutual interests. Okay? And it means that you talk with him and that he talks to you. A recognition. If you have a visitor in your house and you never say anything to him from the day he came, your guest, from the day he came till the day he's leaving, what do you think? He'll probably never come again. He'll understand the message. You don't want me here. And that's a good message. Let's look at it like this. Assuming you had this nice guest who came to visit you. And you said, oh, I'm so happy to have you. You're welcome. And you showed him a guest room. And he got in. And all the time, you only waited at the door. And you were saying to yourself, I'm here in case he needs me. But you never say anything to him. In case he needs me. And then, of course, if I do need him, if there's any trouble in the house, I might need him, right? Okay. But so he's in there. And all you do is you give him food, he eats, and he says, I've not been able to see you at all. You say, well, I've been here. Whenever you need me, just let me know. He's your guest, right? Now, whenever you need me, just let me know. I'm available. He probably wouldn't come back, right? Well, if I were your guest, like, I wouldn't come back. Now, the Holy Spirit has come to live in you and with you. You see that? And you have to learn to talk to him. Now, don't become weird. You know, a certain fellow said that he had two chairs on the platform. And the one chair was for him, the pastor, and the second chair was for the Holy Ghost. That's weird. You don't have to be that weird and start talking like, Holy Spirit, let's go together. Who told you it's on the left side? Oh, it's on this side now. Holy Spirit, don't start looking around for him. He lives in you. You don't need to give him a chair. He lives in you. Don't get weird and think that you're driving and you start turning to the passenger side and say, how are we doing today? You're not getting spiritual, you're getting really carnal now. Because you have given the Holy Spirit a geographical location around you. He's not man, he's God. And the place he occupies, when I say he is in you and with you doesn't mean he's sitting next to you. That means his presence is all around you. Hallelujah. So don't start opening the door of your car. Say, Holy Spirit, come inside. And then I get in. You know? I know some people are that weird, you know. It's terrible. So that's not what I'm suggesting to you. The scripture doesn't give us, was Jesus like that? Jesus had the Holy Ghost. Did you ever hear him saying, the Holy Spirit come from the left side? Oh, you know, he didn't do that. He never asked for an extra chair for the Holy Spirit. Now you're carrying a chair every time in your car, an extra chair. Once you come out, there's an extra chair you're carrying. Whose is that? Say, it's for the Holy Ghost. He doesn't need your chair. Hallelujah. You know, the foolishness of it. Oh, God. Terrible. So he lives in me. He goes in me. That's it. If the Holy Spirit is going to sit down, he will sit down in you. All right? Uh-huh. And don't start trying to eat and say, Holy Spirit, the first bite I take is for you. Tell somebody, don't become weird. Okay. You've seen some people, they take a drink and they say, I pour it to the God who made me. They say, they pour it out, they say, to the God who made me. Before they start drinking. You give them a cup of water, they say, to the God who made me. Stupidity on rampage. Did you hear Jesus doing that? Did you read your Bible and he got some figs and threw some up to the God who made me before chewing anything? He didn't do that. Neither should we. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit lives in us and he wants us to have that fellowship. And that fellowship is communication. That, you know, you see, you pray to God the Father all the time. Is that right? Yes. You pray to God all the time. And you talk to Jesus all the time. Now, in the same way, start talking to the Holy Spirit. That's just the difference. It's not a new thing that you haven't been doing. You've been talking to the Father all the time. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you pray. Now, say, dear Holy Spirit, and talk to you. See, give him that recognition. Interestingly, his name is not Holy Spirit. But he understands you're talking about him. Or to him. Because that's what the scripture called him. But he answers to the name of Jesus. It's amazing. Every time you talk to Jesus, Jesus doesn't do what you tell him to do. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. Every time you pray to the Father doesn't carry out those things that you're asking for. It's the Holy Spirit who does them. So he answers to the name of Jesus. When you call the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit does respond. But you need to recognize him. That's why he said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. He showed us the difference. So who do we have communion with? The Holy Ghost. But we have been brought into legal communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Remember, the bread which we break is what? The communion of the body of Christ. The cup that we drink is a communion of the blood of Christ. So that legal fellowship is there. But you're going to have a vital relationship through the Holy Spirit. Start practicing this. Start doing it. If you've been doing it, keep doing it. And encourage yourself in it. You'll be amazed at the simple things of life, the simple details of life that the Holy Spirit will be ministering to you about. And you find your life just moving forward from glory to glory, from success to success. Hallelujah. So that's the partnership that leads to distribution. Learn discussions with the Holy Spirit. In the same way you prayed to the Father, in the same way you spoke to Jesus, speak to the Holy Spirit. Because he is the doer. He is the one that's here with us. And Jesus wants us to recognize the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Lord Jesus and the Father are so protective of the Holy Spirit. Just to let you know. Remember the words of Jesus. He said, if anyone sins against the Father, it shall be forgiven him. If anyone sins against the Son, it shall be forgiven him. He said, but if anyone sins against the Holy Spirit, he said, it shall never be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. That means that fellow is finished. That's not telling you about the Holy Spirit's wickedness. You say, ah, he's very wicked, he doesn't forgive. No, he's not the one to forgive you. It's the Father who would have forgiven you for sinning against the Holy Spirit. But he's telling you that the Father will not forgive you for sinning against the Holy Spirit. So take the Holy Spirit seriously. Why is it like that? Maybe you've not been listening. Or maybe you've not given him credit for the things he said to you. And you thought it was your mind. Learn to put the Holy Spirit first in your life. See, you get to know someone so well, to a certain extent, there are things you just don't want to do without his involvement. You know, without seeking his counsel, without having his guidance and his instruction. You just happen to trust him to that point. So it becomes a naturally flowing thing. It's not like, oh, I haven't asked him. You know? As a fellowship gives birth to partnership, you need to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life. He's interested in everything that concerns you. Everything. He's interested in everything that concerns you. If you will have fellowship with him, you'd be amazed. Now, let's talk about how do we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Because, you know, we can talk about having fellowship with the Holy Spirit and then until it becomes a big religion and we don't understand how to actually do it except to give it some big grammatical construction. Fellowship just means sharing together. It means relating with another on a friendly basis and informal, friendly basis of mutual recognition and mutual interests. Okay? And it means that you talk with him and that he talks to you. A recognition. If you have a visitor in your house and you never say anything to him from the day he came, your guest, from the day he came till the day he's leaving, what do you think? He'll probably never come again. He'll understand the message. You don't want me here. And that's a good message. Let's look at it like this. Assuming you had this nice guest who came to visit you. And you said, oh, I'm so happy to have you. You're welcome. And you showed him a guest room. And he got in. And all the time, you only waited at the door. And you were saying to yourself, I'm here in case he needs me. But you never say anything to him. In case he needs me. And then, of course, if I do need him, if there's any trouble in the house, I might need him, right? Okay. But so he's in there. And all you do is you give him food, he eats, and he says, I've not been able to see you at all. You say, well, I've been here. Whenever you need me, just let me know. He's your guest, right? Now, whenever you need me, just let me know. I'm available. He probably wouldn't come back, right? Well, if I were your guest, like, I wouldn't come back. Now, the Holy Spirit has come to live in you and with you. You see that? And you have to learn to talk to him. Now, don't become weird. You know, a certain fellow said that he had two chairs on the platform. And the one chair was for him, the pastor. And the second chair was for the Holy Ghost. That's weird. You don't have to be that weird. And
one thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the Word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about.
And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining, and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Devil is yours.
Thank you. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit brings partnership. And partnership leads to distribution. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's more than an influence. He's a person. You relate with a person. Most people only know him as power, the power of God. So they remember him when they're in need and they want some power to do something for them. But God wants us to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to recognize the Holy Spirit in our lives. In prayer, in our dealings with others. See, he wants that fellowship to grow into partnership. The fellowship that brings about partnership. That means that you have such fellowship with him, you become partners together. And I would like to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And verse 9. It says, for we are laborers or workers together with God. Now, I told you that when you study in the New Testament, and you find the word God, it's important to study the context to get to know who is he talking about. Is he referring to the Father as God? Is he referring to the Godhead in totality? Is he referring to the Holy Spirit as God? Or is he referring to Jesus as God? Because in some cases he does. The context will tell you. Now, we cannot work just as I explained to you, we can't have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus because they're in heaven, and the only way to have that fellowship with the Father or with Jesus is through the Holy Spirit. In the same way, we cannot work with God the Father or God the Son except by working with the Holy Spirit, because Papa God is in heaven, Jesus is in heaven, and it's the Holy Spirit who is here with us. He's the one in the earth. Now, notice something. He says, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Uh-oh. Oh. So, who's who he? That means Paul is saying, this is not everybody. He says, some of us are workers with God, and the rest of you are the farm. You are the labor. That means the work. You are what we are doing. Think about it. It's just like another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, we all think so. We all say, yeah, that's who we are. But this is not every Christian. He's not trying to say every Christian is. Every Christian is to some extent, to the same extent that, oh, I'm talking like, Holy Spirit, let's go together. Who told you he's on the left side? Oh, he's on this side now. Holy Spirit, don't start looking around for him. He lives in you. You don't need to give him a chair. He lives in you. Don't get weird and think that you're driving and you start turning to the passenger side and say, how are we doing today? You're not getting spiritual, you're getting really carnal now. Because you have given the Holy Spirit a geographical location around you. He is not man, he is God. And the place he occupies, when I say he is in you and with you doesn't mean he's sitting next to you. That means his presence is all around you. Hallelujah. So don't start opening the door of your car. Say, Holy Spirit, come inside. And then I get in. You know? I know some people are that weird, you know. It's terrible. So that's not what I'm suggesting to you. The scripture doesn't give us, was Jesus like that? Jesus had the Holy Ghost. Did you ever hear him saying, the Holy Spirit come from the left side? Or, you know, he didn't do that. He never asked for an extra chair for the Holy Spirit. Now you're carrying a chair every time in your car, an extra chair. Once you come out, there's an extra chair you're carrying. Whose is that? Say, it's for the Holy Ghost. He doesn't need your chair. Hallelujah. You know the foolishness of it. Oh, God. Terrible. Say, he lives in me. He goes in me. That's it. If the Holy Spirit is going to sit down, he will sit down in you. All right? Uh-huh. And don't start trying to eat and say, Holy Spirit, the first bite I take is for you. Tell somebody, don't become weird. Okay. You've seen some people, they take a drink and they say, I pour it to the God who made me. They say, they pour it out to the God who made me. Before they start drinking. You give them a cup of water, they say, to the God who made me. Stupidity on rampage. Did you hear Jesus doing that? Did you read your Bible and he got some figs and threw some up to the God who made me? Before chewing anything? He didn't do that. Neither should we. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit lives in us and he wants us to have that fellowship. And that fellowship is communication. That, you know, you see, you pray to God the Father all the time. Is that right? Yes. You pray to God all the time. And you talk to Jesus all the time. Now, in the same way, start talking to the Holy Spirit. That's just the difference. It's not a new thing that you haven't been doing. You've been talking to the Father all the time. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you pray. Now, say, dear Holy Spirit, and talk to him. See, give him that recognition. Interestingly, his name is not Holy Spirit. But he understands you're talking about him or to him. Because that's what the scripture called him. But he answers to the name of Jesus. It's amazing. Every time you talk to Jesus, Jesus doesn't do what you tell him to do. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. Every time you pray to the Father doesn't carry out those things that you're asking for. It's the Holy Spirit who does them. So he answers to the name of Jesus. When you call the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit does respond. But you need to recognize him. That's why he said the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. He showed us the difference. All of you in South Africa, or all of you, every South African is an ambassador of South Africa when you go out of this country. Right? But the government has handpicked somebody to speak for the country. No matter what you say outside this country, if the government hasn't picked you, it doesn't matter. But others will listen to you and say, well, that's the way they are in South Africa. See? So they'll take you seriously to some extent, but they'll have no power in government or in changing things between countries. Right? In the same way, he uses this and he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God didn't beseech you by us. And if you read from the first chapter, you know he's talking to the Christians in Corinth. So what's the separation? Who's who he? He's saying, us, the ministers, us who have been given a responsibility to serve in the house of God, to bring others to him, to win others to him. He says, we are ambassadors. And we are reaching you that we are building. Are you getting it now? So, in that sense, he's referring to himself and those who were apostles with him and those who were working together with him. As different from all the Corinthian Christians that he was writing to. Praise God. All right. So, look at it. Now then, we are ambassadors. So, it's not every Christian he's referring to here. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. He wasn't talking to non-Christians. He was talking to Christians because some things had gone wrong in their lives and he was correcting them. And he says, we implore you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Change your way of doing things. That's what he was saying to them. So, in the very sense that the scripture speaks here, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, can you go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 1? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. See, we then, as workers together with him, we are workers together with him. See, several scriptures helping us understand our partnership with God, with the Holy Ghost. As workers together, we are workers together with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're workers together with the Holy Ghost. Say, we are workers together with the Holy Ghost. We are workers together with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right. Now, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, observe something here. He says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Read that. Read it. All right, now we're going to compare this with another scripture. Acts, book of Acts, chapter 15, and let's look at verse 28. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Look at this. Read it, one, two, go. All right, let me explain something to you. We're talking about partnership with the Holy Spirit. In the first scripture I read to you, Paul writing to Timothy said something. He said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, he says, keep. Keep by the Holy Ghost. How can I keep something by the Holy Ghost? Something that's entrusted to you. He says, keep by the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Now that's remarkable. A responsibility has been given to you in the house of God. He says, handle that thing by the Holy Ghost that lives in us. A message has been committed to your trust. Keep it by the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Now, in the scripture read in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 28, we're coming from somewhere. They just had a meeting, the leaders in Jerusalem had a meeting. The apostles and elders had a long discussion over several things because of the Gentile churches that were springing up through the ministry of Paul. And they were concerned about several things. And after long deliberations, they decided to write a letter to those churches because there were certain people who had tried to go and deceive those churches with some false doctrines, stating that they came from the apostles. And the apostles said, no, we didn't send them. And now, after all their deliberations, they wrote this letter. And here is the line that gets my attention. And that's what I just read to you. Verse 28, put it there again, chapter 15, book of Acts. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. It seemed good to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then they went on to explain whatever necessary things they wanted the churches to observe. But look at it. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. This is how much they recognize the partnership with the Holy Spirit in their work. They knew God was with them, but they also had to be with Him. Like the prophet says, who is on the Lord's side? You know, we think about God being with us, but are we with God? The Holy Ghost and to us. They're saying, this thing is pleasing to the Holy Spirit and to us. And it's interesting, they didn't say, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. They said, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Why? Because He's the senior partner. He's the senior partner. And everything you need for your work, for your life, everything you require will come from Him. He's the senior partner. He's the supplier of every need. Glory to God. He's the supplier. You can trust Him. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Do you think like that? Or this thing looks nice to you, so you're going to do it. You know, there are people who just do what's on their mind. They say, well, this is what's in my heart, I want to do it. What about the Holy Ghost? You want to be very successful in your life? Then put the Holy Ghost first. This step you're about to take, is it good to the Holy Ghost? Does the Holy Ghost think it's right? Or is it just you? Did you hear them say, well, this thing seems good to us and we're going to tell the Holy Ghost to join us? Did you hear that? Did they say, well, we want to do it and we're asking the Holy Spirit to follow us? Did they say that? Okay, we have decided this is what we're going to do, and we prayed. Like people said, they prayed. Well, I want to do it. I prayed about it. Praying about it, that means you told God. What did he say? What did he say? Did he have to say anything? Of course, yes. Of course, yes. You know, there are Christians who never think about hearing from God. They think that hearing from God is left to everybody else. God wants to talk to you. And the thing is, he's been at it. He's been talking to you.